Can we stand for prayer together? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Light us, Lord. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that I can already sense in this place. Thank you for your work in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for each one of these young people that are here tonight. Thank you for the privilege of ministering in their midst. Lord, you know each one. You have known them before they were born. And tonight, you know them as they sit here in this place. As they've come to this Bible school and chosen to enter into this week of intense study and instruction. God, you know them here tonight. And you know the purposes that you would have for each one of them as they go forward in their lives. And Father, I just pray, would you light that flame within each heart to burn for you. So as we come to this time this evening, we just commit this time to you. God, we want to hear from you. And I submit myself to you to speak through me. Would you inspire my tongue, Lord, and fill my heart with the things that you want us to hear tonight. And we just pray that your will would be done and you would be glorified and your church would be built through these young people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good evening. It's a privilege to be here with you tonight. When Brother Mark had asked me several months ago if I would do this, I knew right away I wanted to. I wasn't sure if I could, but I'm thankful that God allowed me to see my way clear to be here with you this week. You have a soft spot in my heart. I'm over halfway through, I think. I don't know how many years God will grant me yet, but I'm 45. I think I'm past halfway. But I remember so well what it was like to sit where you sit. I remember so well what it was like to feel the things that I know surge inside your bosoms, many of you. And I don't think, though times have changed a lot, I don't think many of those things have changed very much. And tonight, the things that I know God has done for me in my life, I know God can do for you too, and wants to do for you. And as I looked at the schedule here yesterday, I finally sat down and looked up a program. I didn't have one, but I found it online. And looked at the subjects that were here this week, and I realized, wow. I don't think any of you can appreciate the opportunity that you have this week to engage and to be drawn towards God in a way that I know will change your lives if you'll let Him do that. And I'm so excited for what I believe God can do here. And I feel privileged. I'm the only one of the speakers here this week that can change my message and make it whatever I think God wants it to be. The rest of them have their subjects assigned, and beautiful subjects they are. And I'm just deeply blessed at what I see the potential for here. But my desire, as I come to these evening services and have the responsibility to bring a message to you, is to just let God direct that and bring to you what He wants every single evening. And I have some ideas. I have more ideas than what I'm going to be able to get through here this week. But I'm not sure which all ones yet God is going to bring to you. But I'm praying that God will direct that, and I ask you to pray for that too. And tonight, the message that I feel very clearly God wants me to share with you tonight is actually a different one than I thought I was going to share yesterday. I've been doing a lot of studying, and I had multiple directions I wanted to go. But as I prayed and I said, God, what do you want for these young people? I felt like God very clearly showed me what He wants me to share here tonight. And as this is the first night of our time together, I don't know where all it's going to go. But I want to preach on surrender tonight, and the title of my message is The Sweet Peace of Absolute Surrender. I was amazed at the songs that were sung here, and of course, knowing the things that God has filled my heart with, it's not hard to connect with all these elements, but I believe that God has a purpose in what He asked me to share here tonight. And as you are here and opening your heart to all the things that are coming your way this week, I know beyond doubt you are going to need surrender in your life. Some of you have probably come with a great desire for that in your hearts already as you approach this week. Some of you might be sitting here just a little stubborn and really not sure if you want to let go and let God do the things that He's calling you to do in your life. I don't know where you're at tonight, but you know He knows. He knows. And some of you may have come with a determination that you're not going to give in. You're not going to go to a sensitive area of your life. And you can probably get past me. I'm not all that smart. But you can't get past Him. And if you sit here this week with a stubborn face on and you're not going to allow yourself to be touched, or you think you won't, I think you're in for a pretty hard week. But if you will allow the Spirit of God to work in your heart and surrender yourself to Him, you're going to find some amazing things happen in your life this week. The sweet peace of absolute surrender. I would just like us to think about tonight, and I want to focus especially from the aspect of you young people, the importance of and the need for absolute surrender. And it doesn't matter how old we are, this is an ongoing need in all of our lives. In fact, the older I get, sometimes I feel like it gets even harder as you get older. We can get more stubborn as we get older. And sometimes it takes longer for God to get through to us. But it doesn't matter whether we're young or we're old here tonight. The sweet peace that God wants to bring into our lives, that rest of knowing Him, only comes when we're willing to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever it is." Paul talks in Philippians 4, and we're going to go there a little bit later on, about the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And we live in a very tumultuous world today. And there's times, as I look at you young people growing up, that I struggle with pitying you. And I don't want to do that, because I know that God is able to do in you those things that need to be done to make your lives effective in the atmosphere that you find yourself in. But I know that you face some things in your life that I didn't face when I was growing up. You face some challenges and some temptations and some struggles that I didn't. And my generation had to find God in our way. You need to find God very real in your own lives. And I believe God can do that. But peace and settledness is something that is very hard to find in life today. Even for people who are not in a state of great agitation, you'll find most people are also not in a state of great peace. And part of the reason for that is because of the constant inflow of things into our lives. It prevents us from being in a state of peace and rest. It may not be bad things, but I believe we need to understand the need for peace. And you can keep that in mind as we go through. It is God's will for me and for each one of us to have that regardless of our circumstances. So I ask you, where are you tonight? Do you have peace in your heart? And if you do, may it be deepened and strengthened. And I know God will do that if you'll let Him do that. And if you're here tonight with unrest in your soul and you're struggling a little bit with whether you came with a struggle or maybe struggling with something you already were challenged with today, then my prayer is that you will find peace tonight and every night as we go through this week, every day. And God will call you to surrender to Himself, and you will yield to that call, and you'll find a richness that nothing else can ever bring in your life. There's so many things that can rob our peace. And I'd like to spend a little time on that later on. But things that get me stirred up in my spirit and cause my heart to be like a troubled sea. I don't know how many of you have ever spent time by the ocean, but it's one of my favorite places to be. I've enjoyed that all my life, but I've spent more time probably by the ocean there in Ghana, Africa, outside that old mission house that was built back in 1992, and it's right there by the ocean, and the rocks are out there, and I have spent so many hours on those rocks. It's one of the most precious places to me in my life. But, and so many good times with God. But also, sitting on there in those rocks, I've learned so many lessons from just watching the sea. watching the never-ending, constant restlessness of those waves. And, you know, it's, 26 years, I guess, since the first time I went there. And I was there just a few months ago, actually a month ago, and it's still the same. The rocks have changed a little bit. The water's worn away some places. But it's still largely the same as it was 26 years ago. And I believe when I'm dead and gone, if the world stands that long, it's still going to be that way. It's just never at peace. It's never at rest. Sometimes it's more unsettled than others, but it's never at peace or rest. And our hearts can be like that, but it's not God's will. Sometimes we worry and we fret. And sometimes as we get older, worrying and fretting can make can get worse for us. I don't know if you young people worry, but I know I had a few worries when I was at your age and struggled with some things. Ill feelings towards another person. I remember that too. It's a lot of things that young people can struggle with. Sometimes it's irritations between you and another person your age, but sometimes it's irritations between you and your parents or you and your siblings. Or maybe somebody else in your church. And those things can get into our hearts and start to work unrest in a way that will rob us of peace. And ultimately robs us of effectiveness in the kingdom of God. And those are the things that are my burden tonight. And essentially, God invites us to exchange all those areas of unrest, whatever it is. Turn them in, and He'll give us peace. But there's choices we have to make. And that's what I'd like to lay out for you tonight. The choice that we have, that you have, to surrender absolutely or to not surrender absolutely. And it's going to determine what happens in your spiritual life. So you can have peace if you're willing to absolutely surrender. Now, what does it mean to absolutely surrender? This is interesting because we love to rationalize things and we love to figure out ways to get around absolutes. But when you consider absolute surrender, there's not many ways around it. Absolute means complete, with no reservation and no condition. Now, I think most of you are intelligent enough to understand what that means. But yet when we deal with things in our own hearts and lives, it's amazing how we try to wiggle around absolute surrender. If you think about, well, surrendering means to yield, to give up, just like you resign something in favor of another person. You hold it and you choose to give it. You choose to give it away. Most often it comes down to rights or privileges that we hold on to and we don't want to let go of. And we need to surrender and give up. When we absolutely surrender, it means that we give to God without condition everything and anything that is precious to us. And tonight, it's probably something different for just about everyone in this room. But I know tonight God has a call on every single one of us in this room. And God has something that He wants us to yield to Him. Are we doing that? In choosing to give it up completely, and it's a conscious choice that we make. This is not something that falls out of heaven on us. God's call is gentle and it's persistent and it's always there. But this is a conscious choice that we're going to make. And in choosing, making that conscious choice, we let go completely. God can do what He wants with it. And it's okay with us. We literally yield our right to have, to control, or even to be personally concerned about that situation. And, you know, when I think about this, I'm often reminded of the pineapple story. How many of you know that story? I figured most of you would. But Otto Koning there learned this lesson the hard way, and he shares it in a very interesting way that makes it easy to understand his lesson. But he had to come to the place where he was done trying to manipulate and trying to make happen what he thought needed to happen in his mission with his garden of pineapples. And he had to be okay with whatever God wanted to do with that situation. And tonight, you know, we all have a garden of pineapples. What is it in your life that is that you would be trying to hold on to? Where does absolute surrender apply? Well, I'm going to say tonight, in all of life. There is not any area of your life that you can exempt from this mandate of God. And we're going to look at this call here in Scripture shortly. And that compels each one of us to look deeply into our own hearts. Where are the points of unrest that are in your heart tonight? And again, I don't know where they are, but God knows and you know. You know where those points of unrest might be. Are there cares or burdens that you're carrying? And how you learn to deal with these things at your age is going to have a huge impact on how you're going to deal with them when you get to my age. And let me tell you, if you don't lay a good foundation now for learning to take the things that can come pressing in on your heart and take them to God and be able to let Him have them, it gets much harder when you get to my age. Cares or burdens? What agitations might you have? Maybe it's because of a situation where you were treated badly by another person. You know, I never cease to be amazed how deep these things can go in our hearts. But as a pastor, and sometimes it's young people and sometimes it's older people, but I often have people who come and they have a heart that is just full of hurt and pain. And most times, you know what we do around a heart that's full of hurt and pain? We build walls around it. We don't want other people to see it. We definitely don't want other people to touch it. And out of that hurt and pain that we hold in our hearts, we usually have actions that come out towards other people. We can try to, you know, discipline ourselves not to express things that we know we shouldn't. But when that hurt and that pain is in there because somebody did something wrong to us and we hold on to it, it is going to rob us of our peace and it is going to produce things that will not reflect who God is. And it happens every time. And if we hold on to those things long enough, they become blockages in our lives. And they will prevent us from both knowing God and from expressing His power in our lives. They become blockages that just completely block the flow of God's grace. They affect relationships. And you know, again, I have freedom tonight because I don't know most of you. I know a few of you a little bit, but and some of you I know a little better, but most of you I don't know well at all. So I'm just going to share my heart, and you let God go wherever He wants to go with you tonight. But I know I've sat with young people who carried some deep hurts, even sometimes coming out of their homes. And you know, as hard as mom and dads try to do the things that they ought to do with their children, sometimes they don't always know how to do well. Sometimes there's moms and dads that really don't do very well because there's areas of pain in their own life that they've never been able to find their way through. And so those hurts continue. And when a young person carries those hurts in his heart and does not let God deal with that, and he will have unhealthy relationships in his home, he or she. And then when marriage comes along, you know what? It continues to grow. It gets perpetuated. And usually it will pass right on to the next generation. It is not God's will. And there's victory over those things. There is freedom. There is a way out of that hurt and pain, but it's a very specific path that we must be willing to follow. And we'll look a little more at that later. Sometimes the things we hold in our hearts are just simply maybe what we would call frustrations. You know, there's things in our life that we can't control, and it's just deeply frustrating to us. If we could change it, we would, but we can't change it, and, you know, it irritates us, bothers us. Maybe you're here tonight with fear in your heart. Is there ever anything that makes you afraid? Maybe some of you came afraid of Bible school. I don't know. It can feel very vulnerable to come to a place like this, especially if you're a stranger and there's, what, 200 plus of you here. And maybe you've never met most of these people before, and that can be a challenge. You're young. All the potential that's out ahead of you. And that's part one of the things that excites me so much about being here with you, the energy and the potential that is in this audience just excites me. If God can get a hold of each one of your hearts in a very real way, I tell you, the things you can do for the kingdom of God are incredible. And that is God's will for you. But sometimes that whole unknown future out ahead of you is frightening. Sometimes it's frightening. And God wants us to bring those fears to Him too and give us peace instead of that fear. Whenever we allow fears of an unknown future, whatever it might be, maybe fears of what somebody else thinks of us or what some other person might do or say to us, sensitive areas inside of our hearts that if someone else says something just wrong, it hurts. Maybe, this is significant when you're young, the concerns about what other people think of you. This can be an issue when you get older too, but when you're your age, and I have 8 children, my baby's now 7, I'm not real happy about that. I'm cherishing every day because I realize my children are going. And they're growing up, and I'm glad they're growing up. I really am. I just am going to miss them when they're all gone. But as I watch them grow up, and I watch them go through these stages and phases, and my 7-year-old, she couldn't care 2 hoots right now what anybody thinks. She's as free as can be. But, you know, they get about 14, 15, maybe it starts at 13. And for sure, by the time they're 16, they really start to care what other people think. And that's not all bad. There's a place for that. But when we allow that to become an obsession in our hearts and start to affect our behavior and start to do things inside of us, you know what? It's going to cripple you spiritually if you let that go on too much. There has to be surrender in that too. I could go on. Maybe I didn't touch the areas that are going on in your life tonight. But you think about what are the things that are going on in your heart. And on any or all of these points, Jesus calls us to absolute surrender. And I'd like to look at what that means. Let's turn now in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. This is one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, I think. And there's such a beautiful picture here for us as we think about this call to absolute surrender and wherever it is. And tonight, I'm speaking largely to the young people. I know there's some parents here too. And I'd like to say these things can very much apply to each one of us that are here. But my heart and burden is for the young people. The rest of you can listen in, and if God touches your heart, that's fine. But tonight, young people, this is Jesus' invitation. The end of chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I love those verses, and I love the pictures that it presents to us. Because when we consider this area of absolute surrender, a picture's worth 1,000 words. And Jesus is calling each one of us to this. Come. It's an invitation. Come. Come to me, he says. Bring your fears, bring your agitations, bring your distresses, bring your hurts, bring those wrong things that other people have done. Bring it. Come to me. If you're laboring and heavy laden, and you know all these things can be in our hearts, and they can make us very, very heavy. And he says, I will give you rest. How does he do it? Look at the next verse there, 29. Take my yoke upon you. Now, what's a yoke? When I considered the beauty of what Jesus is saying here, in the word pictures that he gives us, when he invites us, this is his path to freedom in all of these areas. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, most of you would probably know what a yoke is, but we've gotten pretty far away from it in our society because it's hard to find places where yokes are used anymore. Yokes are generally used when oxen are used to farm. Horses, they get into a harness, and you can go around here and find that. And it works pretty much in somewhat of a similar way. But a yoke, when you see two oxen plowing in a yoke, it's a fascinating picture. And a yoke ties those two animals together and lets their power be used equally to pull the load. And Jesus is saying, in light of this invitation, come to me with all these things that you might struggle with. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get in the yoke with me and learn of me. Now, I've never worked with oxen, but my understanding is, with oxen as well as with horses, there's a lead animal. There's a lead animal that does the majority of the pulling and is the one that leads the team at the direction of whoever's driving the team. Do you see the beauty of Jesus' invitation here? I will help pull your load. You get in the yoke with me, you let me help carry your burden, I'll be your lead animal. I'll be your lead helper. Just get in the yoke with me. Learn from me. Follow my signals. For I am meek and lowly in heart. If you ever study meekness and lowliness, and those are two Christian virtues that I think are so needful in our Christian experience. And too often, they're so absent in our Christian experience. But meekness, lowliness, being able to allow Jesus to teach us to take the low road. You know, when other people do or say things that are hurtful to us, to just be able to take the low road. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. And what's the result of that? You will find rest unto your souls. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, and dear young people tonight, there is the answer. You know, we say this cliche, Jesus is the answer, and I believe that with all my heart, and I know it's true. But sometimes I think we flip those things off our tongues without really considering the substance of why it is that way. And here's tonight why Jesus is the answer in your hearts and lives. He wants you to get in the yoke with Him, and He wants to teach you how to deal with whatever these things are that would be in your life. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I can tell you personally in my own life, I've found it so. And I believe many of you have found it so as well. But I would challenge you as you go through your life, you will find this world constantly beckoning you away from that yoke with Jesus. Constantly beckoning you into a place that will rob you of His power to work in your life and whatever these things are. Don't forget, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now let's turn back earlier in Matthew to Matthew chapter 6. And again, Jesus speaking here in the Sermon of the Mount. And I love the challenge that He brings to us. The end of chapter 6. And this is largely speaking of material things, but it can apply in so many areas of life. And tonight I'd like you to think about the applications in whatever area of life you find. Matthew chapter 6, and I guess I'll start in 24. There's no good place to break in, but verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And I'd like to just say there before I go on. You got the picture of the yoke where Jesus is inviting you to get in the yoke with Him and learn of Him. Let Him help pull your load. Follow His leads. If you choose not to do that, because doing that requires surrender, doing that requires you to give up, doing that requires you to let go, you have to be willing to follow His lead and do what He says. So if you choose not to do that, you have that right. You have that choice. God gives you that freedom. But what you're going to find is you're going to get a harness of a different sort, because the other master will not let you go free. And that's a lie that he tries to get us to believe that it will be that way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I will do my own thing and I'm going to be free. No, you won't. You will find a bondage of a completely different sort that will come upon your life. And so it's really not a choice between getting in the yoke and being free. It is a choice between letting Jesus help pull your load or being in this other yoke of bondage. And we could speak a lot about that and what that looks like. But those of you who have been in that, you know what that feels like. You cannot serve two masters. So verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's a beautiful passage. And again, many, many things could be lifted out of there in terms of our material pursuits and lives. And I'd like you young people to think about that in that regard. Brother Gary Miller has an excellent book that he wrote, Charting a Course in Your Youth. And it takes a lot of this and fleshes it out, how it can look. If you haven't ever seen or read that book or studied it, I would recommend you find it and study it. It will do you good and you'll be blessed by it. Charting a Course in Your Youth. It deals with those concepts. But specifically here, looking at the assurance that Jesus wants to call us to, if I can take care of those birds, and if I can take care of those flowers that are out there and they can't do anything to help themselves, the birds can go peck the whatever feed they find, but God says, if I can take care of them, why do you think I cannot take care of you? And it's, again, a very subtle and beautiful invitation that God is giving us to just come to him and trust him and let him have whatever it is that we are struggling with in our hearts and lives. And this beautiful thing about seeking first the kingdom of God. And again, that is such a familiar verse. Probably most of us here have heard that verse from little up. And many of us would know it by memory. But have you really considered what it means to seek first the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Think about that for a moment. What is the kingdom of God? And if you don't know what the kingdom of God is, how can you know how to seek it first? There's another message that I would love to preach out of Matthew chapter 16, and I'm not totally sure if I'll get there this week or not. But when Jesus asked Peter, we asked all of his disciples, but he asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, his answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's a very fascinating study with that word. And there's actually a little book that's out written. And the title of it is The Problem with Christ. It's a very provocative title. And it explores the Greek translation of this word that's transliterated in all of our Bibles as Christ. And you can go to almost any Bible in any language and find that the Greek word Christos is transliterated as Christ. And the writer of that book, Christopher Gorton, he makes the case that was an error, a grave error in translation, and thus obscures from us to a large extent what the meaning is of the kingdom of God. And here's where he goes, and you'd have to read the book, and I think he's got a very solid point. But he looks at the Greek word and what it meant in the context where it was spoken. And I'd be interested in knowing how many of you here would know or what your first idea would be about what that Greek word means. What does Christos mean? Anybody want to venture a guess? You'll probably be right. The Messiah, that's usually the first answer that comes out. And it's not altogether wrong. It's not. Any others? Anointed one, that's correct. And when you consider what that means in the context where it was given, the anointed one, who was typically anointed in their culture? Kings. That's correct. And the writer of that book, Christopher Gorton, he makes the case that everywhere you find Christ translated, transliterated in our Bible, you could rightfully insert the word king. So Peter's confession, Jesus, you are my king, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. And young people, tonight I'd like to challenge you, each one of you, if you are willing to make Jesus the king of your life in that way, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is His reign in the hearts of men. You're sitting here tonight. You are the kingdom of God if you are willing to make Him your king. But do you understand the seriousness of that choice? It is not something you can do idly or flippantly. Because when you choose to make Jesus your king, you choose to give Him everything. You become His servant without reservation. But Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. And there's been so much theological debate about what that hard scripture means. And I don't know that I can absolutely say this is how it is. But I believe that that confession that Peter made and was not the rock by itself, but Peter making the confession. And subsequently down through the ages, all of God's saints, wherever they are found, who make that confession, Jesus, You are my King, the Son of the living God. On that rock, He will build His church. And tonight, my dear young people, down through the ages, God has built His church. And it's been a faithful church. But many, many have turned away. Because many have been unwilling to pay the price of making Him their king. Tonight, I don't know how many of you there are to be here. There are in total here. I don't know what the exact number is. But you're here tonight. You've got the opportunity through this week to soak up all the things that God's going to bring to you. And I wonder, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, you get to my age and your children are sitting here. The results of your choice are then going to become obvious. And when I look through the Old Testament and I see the burden of God as He was bringing His law to His people. And there's so much in the law of the Old Testament that I find very, very compelling and rich. We are not under the law. We're under grace. But yet you can learn so much of the heart of God when you look at what He transmitted to His people in giving them the law. And one of the things that He continually emphasized to them is that I want you to love Me with your heart and with your soul and with your mind and with your strength. And that didn't change from the old to the new covenant. His heart and His burden is still the same. But one of the things that He continuously told them back then is, I want you to take these things, do them because you love Me, but teach them to your children and teach them to your children's children. It's very important to God that that loyalty to the King be passed on. But can I tell you tonight, and probably most of you here, I have no idea how many of you might be courting. Probably you're not married, but how many of you might be courting? How many of you, I'm sure you all think about courting at some point. Young people do. And that's a good thing, I actually think. More I could say about that. But I'd like to see more of you getting married by the time you're 21 years old. I'll just say that. But God willing, He gives you a partner at some point in the future. And you have children. Do you know you will not be able to teach your children how to be loyal to the King unless you have made this choice yourself to be loyal to the King? And Jesus said, you seek first the kingdom of God. You make that loyalty to King Jesus the preeminent thing in your life. The focus that informs and drives everything else. And all the rest of this is going to be added to you. It's excellent for you to engage in spiritual activities. And I encourage you to do that. But do not make the mistake of substituting those spiritual activities and believing that in them you are pursuing the kingdom of God. Those spiritual activities, whatever it is, whether it's reading your Bible, whether it's going on an evangelistic trip, going to a foreign mission somewhere, those spiritual activities that you do, they need to flow out of the loyalty of your heart to King Jesus. But it is that loyalty in your heart to King Jesus that is seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you do that, all the rest of this is going to begin to flow out. And as I look around me today, and I have to believe, as I don't know who put the schedule together for the Bible school here this week, but with the subjects that were chosen, I believe there's probably a burden there behind those subjects, and it's a good burden. And it's a burden because so many young people in the last 10 years have chosen to walk away from the King. And honestly, young people, I grew up here. My youth was in charity before Ephrata was. I remember so well the group of youth that I enjoyed fellowship with, and this is 25 years ago. Do you know today, I could probably count on the fingers of one hand the number of youth that are still faithful to God out of that youth group. And you know, when I take time to go on social media, and I don't have a lot of time for social media, but I know that many, many, many of you young people find that as a reality that you're growing up with. I didn't. And so I'm trying to engage with you. But when I go on social media and look at various things, I inevitably come away with a deeply pained heart. You know why I come away with a pained heart? Because I see evidences all over of people that I knew once loved their King in a way that today is obviously deeply compromised. And I weep and I say, God, what happened? Why? And so tonight, as you're all sitting here, you've got the future in front of you. But the question is, what choices are you going to make? Jesus is still calling the same way that he did 25 years ago. We made choices. The results of those choices are evident in lives today. What's the evidence going to be for you 20 years down the road? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You make God your King, and his righteousness is going to be reflected in your life. It's just going to become obvious. Because your face is turned with one interest, one consuming passion. You want his glory to be reflected through you. And I tell you, God will provide for everything else. There's another interesting thought. I don't know where the clocks are in this place. Because I won't worry about it. Oh, over there? All right. Looks like I'm still okay. Although I don't want to keep you too late, because I know it's important for you to get your sleep too when you're studying like you are this week. But one other thing I found very interesting out of this passage of Scripture that actually came out of the Bible Exposition Commentary, and that is what this Greek word "take no thought" means. And they say here, Jesus says in this passage that worry is sinful. And I'd like you to think about that, because I think it's true and I think he's got a very good point. Worry is sinful. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Make him your King. Make him your focus. Let his righteousness flow out through your life, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. And therefore, don't worry. Take no thought for tomorrow. And we dignify worry by calling it so many other things. I'm concerned. I've got a burden. Or maybe it's my cross to bear. And every day, all day, we bear our cross. And it's not a joyful one. Sometimes there are things that come into our lives that cause us sorrow. And there is a godly and a right place for that to express itself in our lives. But when we are willfully carrying a burden because we're choosing to hold it ourselves and not getting in the yoke with Jesus and letting him become our lead ox, then it's not a godly thing. And the Bible Exposition Commentary says the results are still the same, no matter what we call it. Instead of helping us live longer, anxiety only makes life shorter. And the Greek word translated here, take no thought, literally means not to be pulled in different directions. The reason that caught my eye so much is because worry can do that on a very fundamental level. If you let worry begin to consume your heart, it will pull you in many different directions, and all of it's going to take your focus off of the King. But again, as we look at the pressures that we face in society today, there are so many influences that come in. And honestly, it's conflicting. It's very difficult. And all of this has come about to a large extent because of the Internet. And I remember, Brother Moses here tonight, but I remember roughly 22 years ago, 23 years ago, when the internet was just getting started, and Brother Moses preached a message at charity, and he said about how this information superhighway is going to change so many things as this railroad of information starts to come into our lives. And of course, as a young person then, I didn't know what he was talking about. I listened, I paid attention, and I noted it. I still remember it 25 years later, or 23 years later. But he was so correct. And today, we find ourselves bombarded with information of all sorts and kinds. And it's not all bad. You know, I use Google a lot. I like to fix things, and my son is an excellent mechanic. And you can find instructions on the internet somewhere to fix just about anything that's broken. And there's very useful things. But I also struggle with the information overload. My email box, I probably regularly get about 100 emails a day that come in. And I have to make a conscious choice. Do I delete? What do I do with that? Do you know what that information overload can do as it comes into our lives? It can pull us in so many different directions that we don't have time for anything quality anymore in terms of focusing on our relationship with King Jesus. And I honestly believe it can be a trick of the enemy. Why am I sharing that with you? If you don't make some conscious choices now, I have no idea what this world's going to be doing by the time you're 45. But I'd like to urge you to make some conscious choices in light of this call from Jesus. Take no thought for your life. And don't be pulled in different directions. And seek first the kingdom of God. I'd like you to make some conscious choices right now at the stage of life that you find yourselves in. To put some disciplines in place to deal with all that. Because you have to take time in your relationship with your King, or you're going to find it compromised. And for your older ones who find yourself perhaps where I do, consider that. When you allow your heart to be pulled in so many different directions, King Jesus is going to find his place diminished in our lives. Well, let's turn back to the book of Philippians. This is a verse I want you to get. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. And this is a variety of things that Paul is giving instructions to the Philippians there. And he says, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. It flows right out of the concepts we were talking about there from Jesus. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you see, again, we're talking about how to do this. These cares, these worries, these disturbances of our peace, whatever they are. Here's what Paul says to do with them. Don't be careful for things. Don't be weighed down. Don't be burdened to a point that your life becomes ineffective and your heart is not free. Don't go there. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you see how naturally that can flow out of this relationship with King Jesus? When he's your king and he's your focus, now it's a natural thing to just take these things that come. And rather than holding them, rather than letting them weigh you down and destroy your life, just bring them to him. Prayer and supplication. Lord, here's this problem. Here's this person that did this. Here's this thing I cannot understand. I can't find my way through. But God, you know. And I can tell you from personal experience, young people, he will do it. He will show you the way. He will lead you. I have to share a testimony with you. When I was about, it's probably 18. I don't remember exactly, but in that neighborhood. I had struggles growing up, just like all of you do from time to time. And I had frustrations. And sometimes our home was not always the perfect place. My parents loved God and they loved me a lot. And I'm grateful for many of the things that I learned from them. But there was times that things didn't always go well in our home. And it was one of those days. And I was actually supposed to go. There was going to be tent meetings, I think, down in Virginia somewhere. And I was supposed to meet up with some other young people and a few other people and head for the tent meetings. And this was one of those days. We had things in our home that just didn't feel very good. And the time came that I was supposed to leave and things weren't settled. And what should I do? Well, I finally left, but my heart was a mess. I was crying. The whole way, I left home in Bethel and was headed south, and I was crying. God, where are you? What does this mean? Why does it have to be like this? And I was having a real hard time. And I, as most young people still do, I liked music, and I had my stereo on, and I don't remember what group was singing, but there was a number of songs. I will not forget the song that came on the stereo as my heart was in that state of agony and crying out to God. And I was on Interstate 81, just north of Carlisle. I remember the place because I remember what God did in my heart there that day. And that song came on, and it was this song. It takes the storm clouds to form the rainbow. It takes the nighttime to show the stars. It takes a crushing to bring forth fragrance and make eternal life's withering flowers. It takes the storm clouds. It takes the furnace, the gold to brighten, the sculptor's chisel with blow on blow, the marble shaft in such polished beauty, and so trials make God's love to grow. And God took the words of that song and ministered them straight to my hurting heart, and allowed me to look up and say, God, I'll trust you. I can't see my way through. This is like a jungle. I'm here, can't see the other end. I don't know what lies ahead of me, but God's up there. And he called me to look up and said, Carl, I'm up here and I can see where you are and I can see where you need to go. And these things that I've allowed to come into your life will make you a better person. And when I surrendered my heart to him that day in that way, that burden left. My tears could be gone. And I went on to that meeting with a heart that was free. Why? Because he took my burden. Didn't fix all the circumstances. Didn't instantly make everything better. But my heart could find healing. And then you know what I was able to do? Come back from that place and go back in my home and be a blessing there. And if I'd allowed that hurt to continue to be bottled up, it wouldn't have happened. Learn to take it to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you get it? The peace of absolute surrender. First Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's all inclusive. The word all doesn't leave a lot of room. Casting all your care upon him. He's waiting, and he cares. So why do we tarry? Why do we keep struggling? Why do we insist on fighting by ourselves? Why do we wait till it gets so heavy it breaks us? We get discouraged and we give up. He cares for us. And it's one of the most precious things to me about God, to know, you know, if he knows those sparrows. And where's that verse that says that every hair of your head is numbered? He knows those sparrows. He takes care of those flowers. And if he knows every hair that's on your head, you think he doesn't know the things that are going on in your heart? Cast all your care upon him. So how do we surrender? Well, make the choice to give it up, whatever it is. Your rights, reputation, situational preferences, whatever it is. And don't wait till God takes it away from you. You know, if you love God enough, and I believe most of you love God because you're here, you at least have some interest in getting to know him better and wanting him to work in your life. You're here. If you love God enough, God will keep pursuing you. Even if you try to hold him off, even if you say no, God will not force. God is gently always knocking with his invitation. Come to me. Come. But That's all he does. He doesn't bust the door down. He waits. But he'll keep knocking. You have to be the one to open it. And sometimes, if you love him enough, or if there's other people in your life that love you enough to pray to God to go after you, he'll send hard things in your life. And the purpose of those hard things is to bring you to the end of yourself and cause you to be willing to say, Lord, yes, I'll give it up. He doesn't always do that. And sometimes if you tell God to get lost, he'll do it. I've seen that happen in people's life too, where they just did not want anything to do with God's hand in their life and tell God to let them alone. And that's a dangerous thing to say. I hope none of you ever do. Sometimes God will. But I've seen God not honor that request. And I think when God doesn't honor that request, it's most times because there are other people who love that person enough. And they're out there entreating God in intercessory prayer for that person. And so God won't let them go. You remember the story of Jonah. And Jonah's an interesting study in that thing. Jonah was stubborn. Jonah was selfish. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And he got on the ship and went where? The opposite direction from Nineveh. If you look at the geography, I think that's how it was. He didn't go anywhere. He went the opposite direction. It's not too different from what we are sometimes when God asks something of us. But God had an obstacle in Jonah's path. Now, I don't think Jonah knew what was going on when that storm hit. He knew he'd been bad. He knew he was disobeying God. And so do you, and so do I. We know when God has a call on our lives. So he knew there was a connection there, but I don't think he knew what was going on when he got thrown overboard. I think he thought it was the end. But God allowed all that to happen and put him in the belly of that fish. And what a place to have a spiritual transformation. But he changed his mind. My challenge to you tonight is don't make God do that to you. God might, if you love him enough, but it's not a fun path. And it's not an easy path, and nor is it the path that God wants you to take. Tonight, you can make the choice, and I can make the choice, when we feel God speaking to us, to just simply say, yes, Lord, I will give it to you. And sweet peace, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Do you understand the depth of that peace? Those of you who have felt that, you know what I'm talking about. But it is a peace that cannot be explained in words. You think of the greatest, most peaceful thing you can picture in your life. And for me, I like water, and I used to like to fish. I guess I still do. I just don't get much time anymore. My boys do some, and occasionally I go out with them. But I love to be out there in the very early morning, before the sun comes up. Dawn is just breaking. It's completely wind still. And to be out there on a lake, and the water is just pristine, not a ripple. Not a sound. It speaks peace to me. And I believe that's how God wants our hearts to be like that. But that peace only comes when we are willing to let him have his way in our life. It's a calmness of soul that can only be found and experienced by those who know a full and absolute surrender to one so much greater and stronger than themselves. And it's a calmness of soul that precludes the unrest of worry, fear, anger, agitation of any kind. And Jesus said further in Matthew 18, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Think about that tonight. What is one of the greatest attributes of a little child? It's probably one of the reasons I don't like to see my little ones growing up. But little babies, little children, take a one and a half year old, old enough to toddle and talk. But you know what they are? It's 100% trusting. They're just trusting. You can do almost anything with them. They just trust you. And even if you hurt them, doesn't take them long to get over it. Jesus said, except you become as a little child. Children trust unconditionally and unreservedly. They cast themselves upon their parent and all is well. Jesus is inviting us in that to come to Him that way. Be like a little child. Well, I think I'm going to close here. There's more things I could say, but I think you've understood the point. The sweet peace of full surrender, of absolute surrender. And Paul said to the Philippians in the end of, in verse 9 of chapter 4, the God of peace shall be with you. And tonight I'd just like to say, that is God's heart for each one of you. He wants to be with you and give you peace. I don't know if I should give an invitation here tonight. I wasn't planning to. I thought I'm going to wait till later in the week. But I think what I'm going to do is just ask everyone to close your eyes. And if there's somebody here that would like to have an invitation, if you feel like God is stirring in your heart and you'd like to respond to God tonight, I'd like you to just raise your hand. And if there's some that would like an invitation, we'll give one. Can you close your eyes? Is there anyone here that would really like to have an invitation given? You'd like to respond to God and deal with some things in your life? Okay. All right. You can open your eyes. We'll give an invitation. We'll just give any of you opportunity to respond that would desire to. And perhaps there's more of you who didn't have courage to raise your hands. But if God wants you to, if God is speaking to your heart, and maybe you came here this week already with some struggles going on, you don't have to spend the whole week in misery. God is probably going to continue doing more in your heart throughout the week, because I know how God works. And I believe you're going to be taken from one glory to another as you allow His Word, as you allow His Spirit to work in your heart this week. But nevertheless, if you've come here and you've got a burden in your heart tonight, you're going to get more out of tomorrow if you can just let God deal with whatever's going on in your heart tonight. So why don't we do that? We'll sing an invitation hymn. And if you feel God speaking to you, you come forward and we'll have people to pray with you and your heart can be free. What shall we sing? 371. And we'll not tarry long. So if you would like to do business with God, you just come forward. Okay.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.